This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
And now we got Allie.
Colleen
is here.
How's it going?
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It was a first for me. I'm the new guy.
So let me introduce you to Dean, Allie. Dean's... he's got he's on three channels on SiriusXM. He's got a TV show on Strike TV. He's part of our gang, and we're all now. And so we have our one last name change, Allie.
I'm so glad I didn't do the face tap for you then. What if I got it wrong?
No. So it's FM 2.0 Forever Music. That's our name going forward. We got Dean, Grizz, me, Stormy. She was traveling for Thanksgiving, but she'll be back. It's great to have you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling now, Allie.
Happy to have been, I think, a part of every
segment.
Yeah, every name, right?
You've been a part of every name. You have the shirts, a jersey. We're gonna get FM 2.0 merch, and we'll give it to you.
Heck yeah. Because
you've always been good about that.
That's exciting, guys.
No, we're excited, and we go back. We were just reminiscing about the first time you were on, and again, you were like, "Oh my God, you went to like 1.32 seconds of my song." I mean, who does that? 1 minute and 32 seconds. Like,
yeah. No, that was absolutely radical, and we weren't showing our faces yet.
No, we weren't. It was all like this. Yeah. And you're like, God, I miss those days.
I was literally just working out in the barn, and I was like, I'm not gonna go and like put on war paint for this. Like, no. Like, if you ever tune into an outlet and I look like this, we go way back, and we're comfy. So I'm like,
Yeah.
No, ugly guys.
She likes
ugly guys, and sit on my couch.
You know, you're not ugly, but I could tell you that. That is a sign, because normally you'll deck yourself out and you're like, you're so comfortable with us. I love it. No, you don't know what that means to us, that you're that comfortable with us.
Oh, yeah.
So I do want to say you've got a song, and I want to know when it is going to get released, because you did an acoustic. I couldn't duet it because you turned it off. So they're going to share it. But Ghost is such an amazing song. When is that coming out?
You know what? I'm not trying to throw nobody under the bus, but I have a list, first off. But me and my very best friend, we're going to put Ghost out for Halloween this year. Like, on Halloween, we're going to put it out. And wow. They just hadn't been feeling well, and it just didn't get done, and it just wasn't whatever. And then I got frustrated because it wasn't getting done. And I was like, you know what? Just whatever. Like, we'll do it again. So I wrote Ghost last September. So September of 22.
Wow.
And Ghost is just I have somebody that I just love more than anything, and they love me, and our relationship has always been tough with both of our mental healths, and it just got to that place, where both of us were like, hey, if you go before I go, you better hang around. You know what I mean? It was just like, it got to that place where we didn't even ask each other to stay anymore. We just wanted to just create this space of love where if anything ever happened, or if any kind of whatever was made, because our mental health was just tanking a year ago. And I think Ghost is one of like the most kind songs I've ever written. So thank you for acknowledging it. That's very sweet.
Oh, it's beautiful. Like, if anybody goes to her TikTok, and by the way, there's a ton of people watching on TikTok. Dean got his thing working, so there's people watching over there. You got the Positive Rhyme group streaming, so got a good TikTok crowd tonight.
Another congratulations, you guys. I feel like I'm fighting algorithms left and right, and I don't care.
But that's where I heard it, on your page. You did an acoustic thing, just you and your guitar, of Ghost, and it was gorgeous. So
I love Ghost. Yeah, anyone who loves somebody, I think it's worth checking out. It's just
I've got to get more involved.
You're a ghost before I'm a ghost.
TikTok.
TikTok.
And Grizz is like 2 years behind TikTok right now.
Yeah, I am.
There's already going to be another platform coming up, and he'll finally get it.
Yeah. You're probably right.
We also, last week, we had on Jay Allen.
Right.
And are you doing a song together?
We are, December 1st.
Yeah, oh, very soon.
And it's called?
We are putting out kind of our version of A Holy Night.
That's it.
It's the first Christmas song I've ever got to be a part of. And I was really excited with how, like, the whole thing was pitched to me. Because as you know me, I love Halloween, all things spooky. I'm obsessed with it. I love it. And then, you know, we talk a lot between the compliments to my voice are always angelic or haunting. It's one or the other. You know what I mean? And we've always loved that. So Jay is on the same booking agency that I'm on with Mr. Jeff Hill. And so Jay was looking for, allegedly the story is that Jay was looking for a female vocal that was kind of haunting and kind of spooky to do kind of a Civil Wars-esque like Christmas song, like something a little darker tone, something a little haunting. And Jeff was like, well, I've got your girl. And I was like, I'm in. Are you joking? You want to do a spooky Christmas song? Oh my God. Yes. And so I was so excited, and we talked about Silent Night, and we talked about O Holy Night, and ended up going with O Holy Night. And I'll be honest, I'm very proud of it, and I'm very, very excited, and I think it's gorgeous. But it sounds like a straight-up Hillsong United, O Holy Night. Like, this thing is just beautiful. Just absolutely
gorgeous. I can't wait to hear it.
I don't know that we nailed, like, well, this part, but I think it's absolutely incredible. I do think it's gorgeous.
Well, now that I know that Bev's in the room, Bev, this is like a side conversation. Bev, if you could resend me the link to the song because it wasn't loading.
I was gonna say, you don't have it.
The email came and the link that's there isn't working. So I was gonna say, Bev, if you could, if you're watching, can you send it to me?
And I'll go do it right now because yeah. I want you guys to hear it really bad.
I love that Bev. Bev, I'm sure Bev will be right on it because she wrote my four.
I didn't know we were privy to it yet.
Oh yeah, I got the link, but it didn't work. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. So hopefully Bev is watching, and will like go, oh, what? And get over there, and she'll send it. She's really good about that.
If Bev is not watching, do you want to know why?
Why? Well, who's playing? Why? Who's playing?
Bev and I got to go to Georgia last Sunday. Yeah, so last Sunday. And so two Sundays ago, I guess. And we got to play for this amazing nonprofit that just rescues stray, you know, dogs and cats and from shelters and kill shelters and all this stuff. And so they're Southern Journey Rescue. But anyway, they brought like a car of dogs and cats to be adopted at the show. And I got to hold a little kitty cat the whole way home from Georgia.
Uh-oh.
Beverly got a little kitty cat.
Oh.
So if Beverly is not responding, Bev is hanging out with
entertaining
cat kitty. Elvis.
Playing with her
current new cat, Presley.
Go ahead, Dean.
I was just say those rescues do an incredible job. We have six dogs. But we have a lot that are rescues, and the rescues have probably been the most, you know, the best tempered dogs. The people that work with them, incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that because I think it gets a bad rep sometimes. I really think it does. My family I grew up doing wildlife rehabilitation and, worked in clinics my whole life. And it's like, we do like, they work so hard, and those dogs too, at that point, they're so tired. They're like, I just want to be home. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. So thank you for saying that. I think it's incredible efforts what they do.
And Don, you know, I have some involvement too, right?
I am, there's a place here called Suncoast Animal League, and they will. I've been a part of the rescues. A interesting story was I did one, and it was this Basset Hound dog, like a hound dog. And the local news was there, and I was holding the dog. These dogs are going to be put to sleep, and the way they went out and rescued the dogs from being killed. I was holding the dog and I got on the news. The owner saw their dog. It got out through a fence and they got their dog back. Oh. The dog was going to be put to sleep.
Wow.
And I'm holding the dog. So that I still have the picture of me holding the dog. And I'm like, oh my God, this dog would have died if not for Suncoast Animal League. and the owner couldn't find their dog. It wasn't chipped. So they saw it on the news. So
incredible.
These rescues are so important, right? Yeah. They're so important even. And I still believe dogs are smart. I think when they realize they've been rescued, they're grateful. That I think that's why the temperament that we see sometimes in dogs that are rescued is, oh my God, you know, I was in the shelter for 6 months. I never want to go back. I'm going to be the best dog ever.
Well, they definitely appreciate the love.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, musically, so let's talk. We haven't had you back in a while. So live show experiences. Let's talk about that. What, any memory, show moments you want to share that have stood out to you?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
It's just been a really, nice year. It's been a really awesome year. So what are we probably would have last talked about, maybe Honest Man or something, right?
Well, we did tattoos.
We did do right. Tattoos.
Okay. Yeah.
Tattoos was super fun. We got to go to Vegas to go and just kind of celebrate the release weekend. And we have a purchaser in Vegas for Stoney's Rockin' Country. His name's Toad.
Yeah,
he's just been like the most rockin' freaking guy for taking care of us. And he loves tattoos. So we got to go to Stoney's and literally just party for tattoos. And it was so much fun. I stayed at a hotel in Vegas that weekend, and they would play it by the pool for me all weekend, just for like, it was just incredibly sweet. Like, it was incredibly like supported and awesome. I felt like a rock star. It was very fun. So that was just a good moment. But yeah, we've just been on the road, just doing our thing. The road life has just become incredible. I'm really, really in love with the band that I'm traveling with right now. And everybody's just kind, and we all get along really well, and we all understand what we're working towards and that kind of thing. So things are just getting better. But 2024, you know, we have a lot of high hopes for 2024. I do too.
I think in 2024, you're going to get to the point where you're like, who were Don Grizz and Dean again? I don't remember who they were. That's what's you'll never be that way. By the way, Bev says she doesn't have the final WAV file to send. Sorry, she just looked again. Can you send it, Allie?
Am I sending it to the email? I mean, I don't know that I have like the master by any means, but I have.
I mean, you've let me play non-mastered before.
Yeah, absolutely. So all that to say, Bev might have the same thing I have, maybe not, but.
Hey, Bev, if she sends it to you, yeah, send to Bev. Bev just sent. So send it to her and she'll get it to us. That's another special thing about Allie. She'll give us the before it's mastered. I mean, come on.
That's cool.
That's like special. That's cool. Like, yeah. I mean,
I feel all warm and fuzzy.
I can tell you. I go back to, I got to see Allie play live, and man, she's just so good live. I hope people ever get a chance to go see her perform. It's unbelievable. Her voice. Oh, there she's back.
I mean, send it to.
Send it to Bev. She said, send it to her. This is so awesome. And Dean, I'm going to let you tee up. Like, if you ever had any question for Allie, Colleen, or things that I'd, you know, go for it.
While yeah, I'm curious. I'm looking forward to more tour dates.
There you go. Yeah, you know, let me go look at her website.
We don't have really, like, we literally don't have anything posted for 2024 yet. We have shows that are amazing and incredible, but I don't know that I get to talk about them yet. People just keep telling me that I don't get to talk about stuff yet.
Well, and I see you have a private event.
All these restrictions, you know?
You got a private event coming up. We could crash that.
Hey, I will send you the address, dog.
Then we have to go.
People do make the mistake of informing me a little too much. And I will tell you this. My last private party that I played, everybody got Cool Kid tattooed on the inside of their lip. Show up and someone has a tattoo gun, you're going to have to just put your boots
get
on.
Get branded like cattle.
That sounds like a party.
That's my next goal, to be honest.
Right here.
I'll do a brand. Because I've created a Halos and Horns brand. And I would get it.
There you go.
You didn't do it yet?
I ain't scared. I did it.
Oh, you did it.
I did it. Yeah. But no, we would love to hit the road more. We we've, like I said, just really been fine tuning most this year. I feel like, you know, just going out and making sure that the show is what we want, what it was going to be. And then going forward, I think I've got like 5 or 6 producers right now that we're just giving single tracks to, you know, and just kind of seeing like how well they do our sound and what they bring to it and that kind of thing. And then ideally, you know, from that, we would pick one to do all of them with, but maybe I just get 5 really incredible tracks back that all kind of have their own lifeline out there. And, you know, we just kind of put it out as like a little playlist or something, but we're working really, really hard on new music. I've got the songs and in my opinion, they're incredible, but we just haven't had the money to go to the studio yet. So
we're going to
do that in our downtime.
Your sound is such, I would say you're probably, you're somebody who will listen to all genres of music. You probably have a very wide spectrum, but is there a guilty pleasure song that you would probably say most people would be shocked if they knew that you actually absolutely loved it?
I don't know if they would be shocked.
She's not ashamed of anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know if anyone would be shocked because I feel like no one really expects to know now at this point. So I don't even know if I have shock value because they're just like, yeah, we're not even trying. We're just watching at this point. We're not guessing. We're just watching. But I can really lose my mind to like some Bob Seger, like old time rock and roll.
Wow.
I don't know what it is about that song, but I can absolutely lose my mind.
You slide into the living room with your socks.
Yes, I can. I can lose my mind.
Yeah, risky business.
Anything Celine Dion, I can lose my mind too. And then the guys know this, I'm the biggest Michael Jackson fan and just, I would have to go just like classic, but just like the way you make me feel. Oh my gosh. I don't even dance, but I can. Guys, oh my gosh.
You know, I was thinking today is some random thought. I get random thoughts all the time. A random thought I had was it would be cool to, could we try to do simulate a write, pretend to do a write, or like come in a room and go like we're in a writing session, like one show where we get in and we just throw ideas out and come up with a song.
That would be an interesting thing to do. I feel like it would work best if like it was already like came with like the meat of it, right? Like if I came with a chorus or if I came with a verse or whatever, and you got to build off of it, I think we could absolutely do that.
It'd be fun. That would be interesting.
It'd be fun to do with Allie, like just to come up with a.
It would be fun. I got to run a 5th and 6th grade after school program during 2020. It was called Tiger Club, and we just wrote songs. And the way that I would do it with like the students would be like they would really just pick the rhyme. You know what I mean? Like just pick the rhyme, and then we would just get to it however we got to it, which is how a lot of like free verse rappers do it anyway. And so that was incredibly fun. So all I have to say, if I have been able to digitally write songs with 5th and 6th graders, we could crush something, you guys. I believe we could do it. We could do it.
Have you ever tried to freeform rap?
No, I've tried. I've like written raps before. I've got a couple of buddies who asked me to come in and write on some of their stuff and things like that. But I definitely need all of my private time to do it. I'm not walking in dropping bars for no reason.
So amazed by that, by people that do that.
I was looking at our chat. I know we have Casey's here. Casey's Ivana. You guys have to say hi to Casey. Hey, and Casey. Beverly. That's all I see.
And is that Ivana J?
Mm-hmm. That's Casey, I think. Pretty sure. Casey has 1800 different usernames across all of the things, but I'm 89% sure that that's Casey.
Dean, I gotta. Another thing, while I wait for that file to come in, I think one thing that Allie used to do is she would sabotage me at her web. I'd go out to look for concert dates. And she would purposely have us, like, I think you started doing it on purpose. She'd have a song like queued up. So as soon as I opened the browser, it would start playing one of her songs.
It was just how I had the website queued up.
Yeah, the website does it. I just went on there today and it was doing that.
It just plays my music. It just does. And it's I don't auto-play. Know how many times you have to smack a cat before it learns, But, you know, Don up here just was like, this is sabotage every time. Yeah. Like, no, I made a website a year and a half ago.
It's AI, Don.
It's done the same thing every time you clicked on it.
I know. It's
nothing.
I would forget. And then all of a sudden, she'd be in the middle of a sentence and her song starts playing really loud. And I go, oh, I'm such an idiot.
At least that was somebody else's song.
Interrupting my show.
Oh, I got it. Bev has delivered it to me.
All right.
Nice.
So we'll Alex, well, here.
On the
so
new songs.
Like a true first listen then, huh?
Oh, this is going to be a true first listen to all of us.
Here. On the new songs, Allie, are they all country or are we going to get a surprise?
For the most part, it's country. I do get to finally put out. So in the collection of songs that we did with Jared Neiman and Lee Bryce produced Halos and Horns and Feels Like. And then this incredible song called While We're Still Friends, which is in our big live set that we've played for about a year now. And Lee is on While We're Still Friends with me. So I get to finally put that out in 2024. Bev and I picked a release date today. We're going to do February 16th. And that'll be in support of some shows coming up following that. So I'm incredibly excited. But I get to have a featuring. This is like a little independent. Allie, I get to have a featuring Lee Bryce song as my first release in 24. So wow. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to see like how it's received and that kind of thing. So
wait, can you say that again? What with Lee Bryce? What's happening?
Where we got?
What's that?
I said, where were you at? Where'd you go?
No, I don't. I was doing it.
I get to finally put out my. I've had it for a year now. I've been sitting on it. I've been sitting on the master for like a year, just with like all the licensing and stuff that we had to do to be able to have Lee Bryce on a song. So, my first release of the year is a song called While We're Still Friends, and it comes out February 16th. It's a featuring Lee Bryce track, so I'm very excited.
Look at that!
Yeah.
See, it was worth hearing again.
I'll say it. I'll say it 18 more times. I'm so excited.
So obviously I'm going to play a little bit of All Holy Night here. Oh, and there's Jesse says, that's awesome.
Hi, Jesse.
That's awesome. So what is one of your favorite outside of A Whole Holy Night, a Christmas song that hits you when you hear it?
It will always be Scotty McCreery's Christmas in Heaven.
Scotty McCreery's Christmas in Heaven.
Yeah, he has this beautiful song called Christmas in Heaven that came out on his Christmas album. It had to be like 2012 or 2013. And it's just one of those songs about like, and I wonder what Christmas in Heaven is like. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those songs where like you lost somebody this year who isn't going to be at your table this Christmas, you know, who always is. And it's just like, just wondering like, what Christmas in Heaven is like and like what your loved one is seeing this year and like how probably radical it is like to be able to like see that Oh Holy Night up there in the Holy Night. You know what I mean? So it's just a beautiful song. I listen to it every single year. It's my favorite.
That's a good one. Dean, what's yours?
Mine is Bing Crosby's Secret of Christmas. It's a lesser known one, but love it. There's Bing Crosby's version. You've got Julie Andrews' version. They're both great, but I've got some like deep memories to Bing Crosby's version.
Nice.
What about yours, Grizz?
Yeah.
It's called Rock You Hard This Christmas by the Dan Band. It's the funniest song in the world.
The Dan Band, yes.
Dan Band, yep. I love that song. I listen to it every year. The video is great too.
Allie, have you ever heard the Dan Band do Total Eclipse of the Heart?
No.
No.
Oh my god! What movie was that?
Because we offend people, old school, but
old school, yeah.
I would love to play it, but it's because there's nothing funnier than a perfectly placed F word, and in Total Eclipse of the Heart, Dan Band does it perfectly. Place the F word in just the right places, and you're like, oh, this is
that was the whole joke in the movie because he says it, and everyone kind of looks at each other like, what the. Did he just say? He did it was perfect.
Rock You Hard This Christmas by the Dan Band. There you go. Rock you hard. We're telling all these great sentimental ones, right. Grizz.
Yeah.
I don't know that one, so I'm making a note.
Though. That was on brand. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But Blue Christmas would be my
Blue Christmas is great.
That was present,
The Beach Boys' Merry Christmas Baby always got to me. Their harmonies in that. But that one that Josh Groban does, that I'll Be Home for Christmas, and they'll play it every year on the radio, and it's all the military people, and you're like, oh man, is this this hits hard. Josh Groban, right?
Yeah,
that's his voice is unbelievable. But
pretty
sure. Well, let's do a little of this. This is Oh Holy Night. This is not the, I guess the bonus to this is the master version's coming out, and you're gonna hear it a lot more crisper, right?
You are.
Crisper.
I don't know how different they are. I can't imagine. I mean, obviously we you know, the four of us kind of know the difference between a master track and the final track. Like, really nothing too crazy aside from like what you're listening on. But with that said, it could be a little different, but I'm pretty sure this is the last mix that we agreed to take to mastering. Pretty sure. So it could be an Easter egg or two in here. I'm really not positive.
It's a special moment for everybody. All right, so what I'll do is I'll hit mute. Now we're all going to be staring at each other because there's no screen to share. This is just a song, so we're going to play it and kind of make face. No, in a great way. I'm going to hit mute here, and we'll do this for you. So again, this is us listening to "Oh Holy Night." It's a reaction video of sorts, and all of you comment as well. Jay Allen, who we had on last week, part of this. Let's take a listen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, fall.
How it's done, people. Holy smokes. I can't sing like that at all. That was amazing. Let me get you back here. Get this again. Wow, Allie, that was amazing.
Holy mighty. Just to recap for those that are just coming listening on my side, that was an unmastered version, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, I just wrote, you just got chills.
I did. That's incredible.
They're multiplying.
It's really, really beautiful. Again, like something that we had talked about was really focusing on like a Civil Wars kind of thing. So the artwork, everything, Jay and I both posted the artwork and everything. It's much darker. I kind of have like a Morticia-esque kind of dress on, and we have the candles. I do think like that it was visually presented incredibly cool, very spooky, a little different than your traditional kind of Christmas song. And I do think production wise too, it maybe has like a little bit of that hauntingness with like the space behind it. But I just think it's just crystal. You know, I just think it's beautiful and just crystal and clear and very cool. And I think that that is something that I, as a consumer of like Christmas music, really look for. It's just something kind of simple and not even dressed down, but just like elegant, I guess. So I am very proud with how it turned out. I think it's very
one of the nailers on my TikTok side. That one dude nobody follows, great handle, says get that on Spotify right now. So that's going to be December 1st.
December 1st, yep. Pre-save link is already up on Jay's Instagram and my Instagram. So if you guys want to make sure that it's in your library the moment it comes out, you guys can go pre-save it. But otherwise,
weren't you telling me too that there's a system to the streaming services that you pre-order or pre-save? Doesn't it help with like playlists? And
yeah, the distributors and the curators at Spotify themselves and Apple as well, you know, they really look for big target numbers on pre-saves for releases, especially for independent artists, especially for stuff like that. You know, they're going to look for something that already has a lot of like traction behind it prior to the release. So it definitely helps and it definitely matters. The numbers we're talking about there, I'm pretty sure is in the thousands. So I'm not trying to knock Jay's audience or mine, but I don't know that it will do that or anything, but all the pre-saves help, done to say the least. But we do believe that when this gets out, and then, you know, I don't think it'll have too much of an issue falling on some very appropriate, very helpful Christmas playlists, and that we can, you know, kind of get it out there, because I've never done a Christmas song, and it's just interesting to think that you really do have, you know, about 20 days of streaming to expect at most, you know, and then it's New Year's and I don't know if anyone's going to be listening to it again. So that's kind of an interesting thing for me.
Well, I just, your take on that is, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's not just saying it because you're here. I mean, if I heard that just come on the radio, I'd have been floored, because moments there were, and that's what I wanted to ask you. When you're recording vocals sometimes like that, you get almost like an out of body experience, because when you're singing there, it almost feels like you're giving it all you got. You almost kind of levitate in your mind a little bit.
I wish it was like cool and spooky or whatever. And I wish that we got to be that present. And I can't speak for Jay and how his brain works, but for me, like, I feel like I have that moment maybe like 2 days after I recorded, you know, when I get to look back and think about it and see it and be like, no, that actually was incredibly magical. Like, that was beautiful. But singing is just something I've worked so hard at and something I care so much about that it's almost really hard to get lost in it at this point for me. I think when I'm performing or something, absolutely easy peasy. I'm not even there half the time. I'm in my own world, having a blast, performing for Little Allie. Like, that's what I'm doing. But when it comes like to like vocal time and like studio time and like recording, my brain, I want to say it goes somewhere else, but it goes into exactly what I'm doing at the time. You know, I don't really feel like there's a leisure to get lost in. I care very, very much about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. There's even a couple times where like I would have to go back and re-sing, and Jay's manager even mentioned it, just oppression. Like, I say it oppression, like with an E-N, you know what I mean? Like, oh, oppression. But it should be like the shun, you know what I mean? Like the S-I-O-N. And so like a lot of stuff like that is not lost to us in the studio while we're doing it. And it's like incredibly meticulous and it's incredibly like cared about. And I love that. I don't want that to go away. But I don't know that it's as out of body that maybe somebody might think it could be.
So who's responsible for the arrangement on that? Because like the, I don't know if that's like a heavily reverbed kick or a timpani on there, but as you said, the space is a brilliant use of space. So who's
the space is beautiful. I think a lot of it is actually, I think we really utilized So you can kind of pick and choose, right? You can pick to choose sonically to create space using synth pads and like all those big waves and those big things. And you can use frequencies to create space. And then you can kind of do the opposite where you feed into all of those dead spaces. And I think that he very intentionally created a lot of space around that acoustic or that around that electric guitar, just kind of vamp wave that really just, I think it, we went like kind of a less is more approach to the space on it. You know what I mean? And really went with the reverb and the frequencies opposed to what most people would traditionally just stack a bunch of synth pieces, you know, and pads on top of each other to create like a euphoric space. We used just literal space. And I think just literally let it do its own thing. I would love so much to give credit to, I think his name's Micah, but I don't want to be wrong. I was, again, just lucky to be on this project. I showed up where I was told to show up and I sang what I was told to sing, in the sense of 1RPM is Jay's label and they put all of this stuff together, like the producer and the tracking and the studio and all of that stuff. So I wish I knew so that I could give credit where credit is due, but I'm not sure what their names are. But they're all
What you described is exactly what I heard, the use of actual space. I love classical music as much as anything else. And so Satie, Debussy, big fans of, because literally their use of space and what you just described is, what I hear.
It's wild. I feel like a lot of people don't always recognize that and they don't understand how much sound there is in silence. It sounds like a weird thing for like a poetic person to say, but like there really is, there's an incredible amount of sound and silence. And I really, really value producers that value that as well, you know, and kind of do the less is more approach because it just allows your brain to fill in those gaps, you know, in my opinion, whether emotionally or sonically. So I think it really turned out beautiful.
I think it was Claude Debussy that was credited with saying that music is actually the space between the notes.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah.
That's why me and Don love the stop starts so much.
We nerd out big time. And I don't know if you saw the note there, but Bev said Micah Wilshire played all the instruments.
Micah was a producer. He built the entire track. So we went in and we played to an acoustic track with Micah, and Micah built literally everything himself around it. I don't know that there was any actual players on anything outside of Micah. He was incredibly talented. I always enjoy watching other people sing and like how they do it and how they choose to do it. Jay, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he keeps both headphones on and he just goes into his world and he just sings. And I thought that was incredibly cool because I'm over here as if I've got six hands just throwing headphones on and off the whole time I'm singing and about it's chill. And he was just doing his thing. And I was like, dang, that's awesome. But I really enjoyed this project. I really did.
I can't wait for what you got coming. I mean, you always come up with something that knocks me out. Like I said, the moment you get Ghost released, I will be nuts for that. You always wind up with a song that I go, okay, well, I'm obsessed with the song.
I love Ghost. I got two titles to put in your head that I really think you'll care about. I really care about them. We finished both of them writing wise. I think production world wise, we probably have quite a way to go to figure out how to do them right. But one is Oklahoma Mountains. There are no mountains in Oklahoma. But I have a song called Oklahoma Mountains, and the whole premise is, you know, if they say there ain't no mountains in Oklahoma, so why the hell have I always had to climb? And it's just one of those songs.
Brilliant.
I think that you'll love it. And then I finally sat down to write Household Name, which I don't really want to share with anybody, but I think we worked so hard on it and it says everything that Allie would like to just say. So I think I have a responsibility and I think I get to say it, you know, I think I get to talk about it. So I'm very excited for Oklahoma Mountains and Household Names are two things that I would love to cover with you in the future as well. Once we get them out and ready to roll and that kind of thing, but I'm very excited for the world.
Yeah. We're itching for Allie stuff.
You know, and that's the thing. We know that when you come out with new stuff, you're coming back. That's what I get excited about.
Yeah.
But like I said, Bev and I nailed down the release date for All Our Still Friends today, February 16th. So we'll get with Bev and we'll
February, you'll be back
on that as well.
February, you'll be back. Now, I want to tell everybody, now, Dean, for your information, on her album Stones. So there's a song called Blame It.
I know where he's going.
Nope. Yeah. So that's my point is Allie will come out with when she the first time I ever heard that song was live and I obsessed over that song. And now, you know, I talk about ghosts. Now you got these other songs. So you always will come up with something I obsess over. So that's good.
Good. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel really good.
It's like you give me the fix and then, okay, it's wearing off. I need another one. And Allie comes in.
Incredible dopamine dealer, I can tell you that.
And you got you got the dopamine to give.
I do, I got to.
Yes. Well, you're just tremendous. Is there let me ask you this since we got a little bit of time with you. And if anybody's got questions for Allie in here, feel free to we'll ask Allie. I know and on your side, Dean and Positive Rhyme Group, which we'll be a part of.
Well, you know, I did have a couple comments. One person wanted to share that. Where was it? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth on the question of favorite Christmas song, which that one actually made me think. I remember as a kid, you remember I saw Mommy Kissing Santa or whatever.
Yes.
Well, I remember when I heard that as a kid, that really confused me. I really wanted to know why we were singing about, you know, my mother kissing Santa Claus. I think it was second grade when I first heard that. I couldn't put it together.
I got a lot of questions about a lot of things. Okay. And I'm going to leave it at that. I don't even understand. Can we talk about Mama Got Ran Over by a Reindeer?
Oh, yeah.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Whoever it was. Some
family member got trounced by Rudolph. Yes.
What the heck? and so to take that farther, we all know that Santa Claus was obviously dad, right? Because Santa isn't, you know, real. So Rudolph isn't real. So what's the innuendo there? Was it just drunk driving? Like, who ran over Grandma?
Yeah.
Right. And
I got questions.
And why did they have to write a song about it?
Yeah. Right. What's the innuendo here? Eggnog and driving? I don't know.
We're really deep diving now, aren't we?
Look out.
We want to know. She
drank too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. I'm like, oh, my God. Grandma's like...
Soft.
Hitting the sauce.
Family drunk.
I'll tell you. Well, you know who does a great cover of our take on I Saw Mommy Kiss the Santa Claus is John Cougar Mellencamp. I love his version of that song. And at the end of it, he's got his little daughter singing the part at the end. Do you know that one?
I like kid cameos and songs. I do like that.
And you realize there's no covers of Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer.
I feel like that was a one and done. I don't really feel like that was anyone's list. Give me my shot. Let me have a shot at Grandma Got Ran Over.
Do it, Allie.
Think anybody was doing that.
I don't think so either.
You change up the lyrics too. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's see. Yvonne J has a question. Would you ever do a Christmas album somewhere down the road? Like an entire album?
I would do an entire Christmas album if I got to cover the entire album, the entire Christmas album of Garth Brooks and The Magic of Christmas. I would redo that whole Christmas album. 10 out of 10, every single song, everything about it. I listen to that in spring. Like, that is the greatest Christmas album on the planet to me. If I got to cover that entire Christmas album, yes, I would put it out.
That would be an interesting.
One of my favorites is Colin Ray's that he put out years back. I remember I got that through like the CD club or something.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be just an incredible album.
I remember that actually.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to all of it, but I do remember a couple of tracks from it that were just stand out. And then I've always been Martina McBride, Do You Hear What I Hear? Like, just huge and beautiful and classic. I like that one, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, you could imagine that song, like, Do You Hear What I Hear? No. Anyway.
All of it was weird.
Songs of Insanity.
Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm hearing? Right, that's funny. Yeah, well, when you said CD club, were you talking about Columbia House, Dean?
Or the Dean Lockdown? One of those. Yeah, one of those.
Oh yeah, Columbia House was the greatest. I don't know if you caught on the tail end of that, Allie, or you were too young, but that was like the greatest thing ever.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Columbia House was listed.
My CD collection, the size of my room because of that thing.
So there used to be a thing.
A few albums.
Well, so I'm gonna explain
this. Word album from the beginning. Yeah.
I'm gonna explain this to the kids in the audience. So there used to be a thing called the TV Guide. And they would have like Columbia House, and you could get 12 albums for a penny. So you literally get 12 cassette or 8 cassettes for a penny, and you send in a penny, and they'll send you 8 cassettes of like so. But then you're in a subscription, right?
And yeah, that was one of the first subscription type things.
Was it right?
So if you don't send the card back saying I don't want the selection this month, they're sending it to you automatically and they're billing you for it. And it's like
$17
for like then that's a lot of money.
I was like, it's got to break out of the penny at some point, you guys. It's absolutely
most people have to send the card back, and then they keep getting the CD that they don't want, you know, and they have to pay for it.
Right.
I like this.
But send it back, they're getting a good deal.
Well, the initial haul was great. Like I got like 12 great albums.
I think you had to buy like maybe 2 or 3 within a year.
That's insane. No, I don't. I never experienced anything like that.
Oh, you young people.
Yeah.
You'll never know the joy of getting 12 CDs for a penny.
Right. I'm over here dealing with a technical problem. Apparently the audio just went out on my side of the TikTok stream.
Oh, people need to hear you, Dean.
We can do
it like a bad lip reading, and we can just
yeah,
that'd be great.
We'll just make up stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever? You know, you're talking about
for everything we think you say. So good luck with that. Also,
right.
Allie, has there ever been a song you heard on the radio or done by somebody else where you're like, I could redo that, or I would do it differently? Have you ever come across that, being the creative person that you are, and go, I could do a whole different thing to the song?
I have. I've had it with a couple of songs, because I've thought about that. And a lot of it comes to do with like more of like the visual side of the song. A lot of it usually has to do with music videos. You know what I mean? Like, I actually like the main lyrics of the song. Like, I feel like usually that's different for me. Like visually of what I would expect from a song. More than often, especially these days, man, I'm just hearing stuff, especially from Ashley McBride and, you know, all my people that I love, that I just want to do it. I just want to do the same thing that they're doing. I just want to do it. I think it's beautiful. I think, especially watching just like Lainey's performance of Wallflowers and Wild Horses on the CMAs, I would do it exactly the way she did. I wouldn't change a thing about it. Oh, I thought it was incredible. But yeah, I have that moment. Nothing comes to mind right now. I've been a big fan of the stuff I've heard in the last year that I really care about.
Well, you just mentioned the CMAs. That's where I expect you to be in 2024, on the big stage. That's my envision right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is you up there, and then us going, oh my God, that's Allie.
Yeah, you can do it.
Did you see any independent artists on the CMAs this year?
Yeah, I know.
It's not really a thing.
You're gonna break the mold, Allie.
Yeah, I would be honored. I would be honored to be an independent on the CMAs. If that was the way I got to do it, that would be the coolest way ever, because right. I really got to do that. But then again, that's not how it works. You know what I mean? The CMAs are all about label bases and all about, you know, that kind of thing. And so all that to say, if we were to be represented by a label in 2024, I would also be honored. As long as they're willing to represent Allie, you know, and not anybody else. So I would be so honored too. And that's always such a flattering thing to hear. You know, I think that was most of the messages I got that night were, why aren't you up there? And I was like, that's so cool to even like be considered among that group of artists that I could even be up there. That's very cool. So love the thought. We'll see what happens.
So there's a question here. It says, when you go into a write, do you generally have lyrics and subject in mind, melody, or both?
Always different. This last week we went and we wrote with a track kid, which means that I showed up to a write that already had all of the music already done. And I just got to sit there as a lyricist and decide what I thought the track would be about. And I had an idea in my phone from probably a year ago that I was like, I could give this a life today. Let's write this today. So it's always different. So that happened last week. The weekend before that, I don't think we even touched guitars the whole write. I think we just sat and we just played with vocal melodies all day and just sang what we wanted to sing, and decided that we would, if we couldn't figure it out later chord wise, somebody else could for us. And then, so always different. But I tend to write best headed towards the hook. So usually, you know, once we decide what we're going to write about and once the write starts cooking, we know where we're headed, if that makes any sense. So usually we pick a title or a hook to write towards first. It's probably the only thing that is pretty commonly done in the sense of like having any kind of plan to the madness of songwriting.
Allie, something I'm curious about, I don't know if this is a topic that you, that an artist doesn't really dive into, but a little bit ago you were talking about being an independent artist. Do you find it, is it a double-edged sword? Like, is there part of you that you have apprehension about going towards a label? Because yeah, you hear the horror stories from the outside looking in, and better control, better freedom, et cetera, as an independent. So, you know, would you prefer to remain independent? Are there things about the label? You know, do you see where I'm going with the question?
Yeah, I would love to be independent, because it just means that Allie just gets to sing about what Allie wants to sing about, you know, and Allie's songs sound like what Allie wants her songs to sound like. And Allie posts what Allie wants to post, and the photos used of Allie are approved by Allie. You know, I mean, that whole world is incredibly safe to me and incredibly controllable. You know, I have full control over that. With that said, every single thing that Allie does as an independent artist is paid for by Allie, you know, and that is one of the biggest things, you know, that I think I've learned in business, is if people are making money off of you, because I'm a product, Allie Colleen is a product, 100%. I've made her that way. I worked very hard on that product. So with that said, if Allie Colleen is only generating income for Allie, nobody really cares about that. You know what I mean? Like business wise, like as far as getting behind a product and being helpful and helping fund things and help profit from things and help getting things onto the appropriate shelf, nonetheless, the appropriate eye level of the shelf, that requires someone to be making money off me. You know what I mean? So I fully understand why the labels, and why when you cross over that line and you're not an independent artist anymore, I understand the blanket deals. I understand the 360 thing. I get why they're taking merchandise. I understand. With that said, my problem runs into, we can't use that photo because we have to look a type of way, and we can't sing that song because that isn't really the agenda that country music radio is supporting right now. And then we can't sing about that kind of stuff because it makes people uncomfortable. God help us if we make somebody uncomfortable. Those are the things where I really run into a problem with kind of signing over my life in that way. I do have a lot of friends in this town who lost a lot of themselves to bad deals. And ultimately just weren't supporting what the current agenda was at the time. And so they got shelved. And then I have a lot of friends that will never be able to recoup their projects, probably ever in their life, which is incredibly scary. So as much as it has done a big hit, you know, to the speed in which I would like to see things done and that kind of thing, paying for everything out of pocket for us has been one of the most challenging and one of the most encouraging things for me to look at the catalog that I have and know that I own all of it 100%. I'm incredibly proud of that. Yeah. And I think that is something that we can also use, you know, as leverage one day, you know, to make sure that we get the deal that we want, you know, that if you want to retain my masters and you want to retain everything that I've worked for, everything that I do, this is how we will be represented, you know, and this is how, you know, this is how it's going to go. And I will have final say on what we put out and what we don't put out, and how the money is spent and how it's used and that kind of thing. And that just isn't really a luxury that a lot of people have, because at the end of the day, they'll just sign somebody else. You know what I mean? We don't know the products that we've never been exposed to. You just don't know. So I think that as much as I do care, I don't know that it matters. But I'll tell you what, I'm never going to quit caring. And we're going to figure out, you know, how it's going to work best for Allie, for sure, is our main goal going forward. But we're not opposed to anything, or like absolutely not to anything. We don't feel that way.
A comment that I've heard more than a handful of times from artists, especially artists that are coming up, working their way up, is, hey, you sound great. And I've asked them, you know, what's the label telling you? Because as far as I'm concerned, it's like, you're ready. And the common response is they want more views, or they want more followers. And I kind of feel like, well, if you get 10 million followers, then Why you need the label? I even asked an A&R rep, and I'll won't say which label, but it was a major one. I shared that with him, and he agreed. He goes, yes, just, you know, it's easier now. We look for somebody that's already got the followers, and we work with them. It's like, well, then what are you doing?
Right. And it's just, it's tough. And I think that a lot of, and I don't want to speak ignorantly about this because, you know, it could be different. It could be whatever. But something that we've ran into is the algorithm isn't some binary code written by a computer that it's just at the demise that we're just at the demise of. You know what I mean? Like, the algorithm is incredibly intentional, and it is written with a purpose. At least for right now, the robots have not taken over that I know of. And it is written with a purpose. You know what I mean? And so it's just going to make sure that if you don't have the right tools, which would be access to the companies writing the algorithms right now, you know what I mean? You're kind of at this demise of, well, you can still blindly post and you can still blindly whatever. But even if you have 10,000 followers and you can't appropriately geo-target your advertising to the city you're about to go play in, those people are never going to see the show, you know what I mean? Or see the ticket sale or see the whatever. So there is, they've done a really good job, right? Of building this program and this environment where I can have, you know, 50, 60,000 followers of my own, but without help and without, you know, the social media companies themselves kind of helping me out and getting on my team and helping me with the algorithm and letting me know the algorithm's output every week, I don't have a chance really at reaching even 10% of my own following. Nice. Nonetheless, people outside of that following. So it's just a wild world. You know what I mean? And like I said, at the end of the day, if you don't play the game, somebody's going to play the game. So I think a lot of it, I think if I was to encourage other artists or independent artists or something, it's really knowing your heart and your head and your mind, how you define your success on a commercial basis and a personal basis. You know what I mean? And find a way to do that where you are happy, your bills are paid, you still feel creative at the end of the day, you care about what you're doing, rock on. And if that puts you in 300 seat theaters for the rest of your life, that sounds pretty freaking rad to me. You know what I mean? But I don't know that you're going to have the opportunity to go play arenas and to be on the CMAs in 2024. So I think a lot of it just depends on how you define commercial success for yourself. And I think that's how you should plan your routing. And if you don't have arenas and CMAs and award shows and number ones, like radio number ones, if that isn't something that you care about, I don't think you have to sell your soul. I think you can just keep it in your pocket and like run your socials how you run them and do your thing. And I think you can make a very decent, very good living. I don't think there's one way to do the music business. And I think that overwhelms a lot of artists thinking that there is one version of success. And it's like, no, absolutely not. Do your thing.
I love that. I love that statement.
That's a great response. That's like, we're going to clip that. That was so good.
All day.
I got a degree in songwriting, you guys.
Yeah, you did.
That, but I did.
Tiffany did ask a good question, though. Is that, would you ever make an album that was funded through something like GoFundMe, like a fan supported album?
Oh, Tiffany, no one wants to give me money. You know what I mean? I don't know. I've got a lot of friends that have had a lot of success on Kickstarter. And I have a lot of friends who were put in this weird little shame vault for having a Kickstarter. You know what I mean? I just think, of all the people in the world, the one Kickstarter everyone would care the least about would be someone in my position. I just feel very strongly about that. I don't think it's going to be looked at well for me. And at the end of the day, I'm not afraid of work. And I'm not saying that people with Kickstarters are. I am not at all pooping on nobody who has the courage to ask
for it. Yeah.
Rock on. Understood. I wish I had that. I don't have that in me. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to make my money to make my album for sure. But I do find other ways. You know what I mean? Like we push our merch really, really hard and say everything goes back, you know, into the music. So anyone who's ever purchased anything Ally Colleen related, you have funded my Kickstarter in your own way. You know what I mean?
Another great way to.
Yeah.
Allie's got to have a book coming out soon. I mean, come on.
That would require Allie to sit down for like more than 5 minutes at a time without going to sleep.
It could be an audio book. You don't even have to put out a written book. You can just talk into a thing and then have a book.
there's an important message in what you just said that I don't think a lot of fans understand. I didn't understand this for a long time, that streaming, you know, if you love an artist, then you go stream their music, you promote their music, you tell somebody else to stream them. That's great. But the streaming, the money's really not there for the artist. So if you really love the artist, if you want to support them, stream, great. But, you know, buy the vinyl, buy the CD, buy the merch, buy the ticket. That's how you support the artist.
Yes. 100%. And something that I do for my friends, and not everybody, because that's not always feasible, but I do have two friends that no matter where they're playing on the planet, I buy a ticket to that show. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't think that people understand how far those dollars go and how much it helps and all of those things. And it's like, if you think you're going to go to a show, if you even think you're going to go, just buy two tickets. Even if you end up going by yourself, even if you don't end up not going at all. And also, I get it. Like, things are hard. It's Christmas time. You know what I mean? People have bills to pay and money to spend. And I understand, you know, that can't always be on a $20 t-shirt and that kind of thing. But it is so helpful. And if you want to see music from Ally Colleen in the future, that's kind of how you get it.
Yep. Do you have merch up of shirts and stuff right now?
We don't have anything new. We still have very limited sizes on the merch store. So we have an active merch store. It's always up. It's always running. So it's on AllyColleenMusic.com on the website. You can just go to our store. I work really, really hard on our graphic tees. Our graphic tees are incredibly cool. I try and make it stuff that you would wear if it was just an apparel company, you know, and not who Ally Colleen is, in the sense of like our t-shirts are like me as a skeleton riding a bull. Like, they're very just like graphic tee, like Western alt stuff. My artist is El Rey, out of Texas. I absolutely love, his work, and I've commissioned a lot of artwork from him, for our merchandise. And so we have all those kind of things. We have temporary tattoos. You can have the same tattoos as me, all that kind of stuff. So we've got some fun stuff that you guys can check out for Christmas.
Well, I think we'll get ours going, and then next interview. So I'm going to say February. We're going to plan on like talking again in February time frame. I'm going to make sure I have my Ally shirt.
Please, please. Bev and I need to send you guys some stuff as well too. And we're hoping that once we get all the Christmas shopping out of the way and all that stuff, that we're going to be able to reprint for 2024. So I'm really hoping for some new stuff. I've got a song called... I've got like six songs right now that we're sitting on to put out, and all of the graphics are rad. Casey definitely owns all of the merch. I'm very
sure. I saw that.
I'm very sure. So I love it. It's all very cool. We've got a pinup Ally t-shirt. So there's me as a little pinup girl doll, whatever they're calling them these days. And then we just have like a skeleton cowgirl that's incredibly cool. And like I said, we have the temporary tattoos. I think we're fully out of Stone CDs, like physical CDs. But it's all very cool. Our koozies are rad too, in my opinion. But like you said, if you want to support an artist, buy the shirt, buy the ticket, buy the iTunes song. You can stream it all you want, but please go buy it on iTunes. It really, really makes a difference, and it really helps us out.
I can't. Well, we're always going to support you. You're amazing. And we'll talk to you again in the new year, Valentine's Day time frame.
Yes. I look forward to it. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
Same to you, Ally.
You.
Yes. Thank you, and happy holidays, and Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year.
I'll see you guys next time. Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Bye, Ally. We'll see you December in a few 1st. Months. December 1st. Stream All Holy Nights.
December 1st. All Holy Nights. Go get it.
Yes.
Bye, you guys.
Bye, guys.
Love you too.